In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We are here in the readings of the day, but appropriate to the month of July, I'm using the Mass formula for the Most Precious Blood. The Catholic Encyclopedia records some drama surrounding the Feast of the Precious Blood. Giovanni Maria Battista Pietro Pellegrino Isidoro Mastei Ferretti was head of the Catholic Church from 1846 until 1878, that is 32 years, under the title of Pope Pius IX. Toward the beginning of his lengthy and turbulent papacy, in 1849, just 3 years in, the Italian peninsula erupted in revolution, and Pius IX went into exile about 100 miles south of Rome in a coastal city called Gaeta, Italy. He had as his companion the saintly Don Giovanni Merlini, who's the third superior general of the Fathers of the Most Precious Blood. What we're going to hear in a moment is the matter of making vows, which was talked about in our Joan of Arc book study quite a bit. Joan of Arc, when placed on trial, did not want to speak in terms of having to make vows. We might think of that phrase from Christ, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." And in fact, the Catechism of Trent, which Joan wouldn't have hadn't seen yet, but Pius IX and this head of Precious Blood Order would have seen, does make a lot of entries about vow taking, using vows maybe frivolously as a second commandment matter, referencing the name of God, kind of, as in a vowed way. Maybe it's not necessary. I'm just mentioning it came up in the Joan of Arc class. And she apparently in her lifetime, you know, gave the courts a bit of trouble by the way that vow-taking was needed to be discussed in her testimonies and such. But in this story, the Feast of the Precious Blood wasn't on the universal calendar yet. And when Pius IX and Merlini, who was the head of the Precious Blood Order, arrived at Gaeta, Merlini suggested to His Holiness that he make a vow to extend the Feast of the Precious Blood to the entire church if he would again be able to gain possession of the city of Rome. And the Pope thought about the matter. It said, under consideration for a couple of days, and sent word to Merlini, "The Pope does not deem it expedient to bind himself by a vow. Instead, His Holiness is pleased to extend the Feast of the Precious Blood immediately to all Christendom." So we hear the Holy Father and Joan of Arc speaking the same way about using vows. Even if it was a difficult moment, it sounds like the Holy Father wasn't going to be bargaining with God in some way, tempting, "If you'll cooperate with my plans, I'll make this vow. If God wills to grant the favor, it will happen." Again, this has to do with the second commandment. So that's some of the drama, the way that the Feast of Precious Blood came on the calendar. In the Precious Blood, we intuitively understand that blood, when intact and united with a body, indicates health and life. Separation of blood from a body indicates death. This point is very liturgical. The body and blood are consecrated separately, always. The death of Christ is represented in each and every Mass. Might say that separation of the two species on the altar indicates that every time. The priest, offerer of sacrifice, must receive both the body and the blood, signifying Christ's power over death, the resurrection, and eternal life. Catholic Encyclopedia tells us the blood of our divine Savior Jesus at the Last Supper ascribes to it the same life-giving power that belongs to his flesh. So this is another matter that you could look into if you want about the full reality of the body, blood, soul, and divinity in either species when we receive the Eucharist. That is dogmatically true in the Church. And there's errors among the Protestants about that, trying to argue the other way. The Church came down very firmly about that. And the precious blood is described as a part of the sacred humanity and hypostatically united to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. In the precious blood, therefore, we see this matter of the spirit of self-sacrifice that the Christian is able to attain. The truth surrounding the precious blood gives us a powerful theological point and is a seriously potent Catholic devotion closely related to the saving death of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.